Sing that chorus again in a second. So stand. You got to march on your feet if you can stand. If you can't, please be seated, of course. Glory, glory. How many are glad the Lord is in charge? Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Welcome to Minnesota. You may be seated. We're glad that you found your way here this morning. Last night, we weren't so sure, were we? Anyway, it's great to see everybody. Great to be in the house of the Lord. Not just because it's potluck Sunday, but because the Lord is wonderful every day of the week, isn't he? I'd like to give regards and hello from Harvey and Marcella. She is doing a lot better. She's at the St. Therese home in New Hope and actually walked 50 steps yesterday and 100 the prior day and is eating better. She has her sense of humor back, so that's always an indicator. And she appreciates so much everyone's prayers and cards and all of that. She still prefers no visitors terms of that, but she knows that you're visiting in love and in prayer. And isn't that the most important thing, that the Holy Spirit is there? So we're so glad for that. And so she is doing better, and they are working with her. So she doesn't know how long she'll be here in there, but she knows one thing, the Lord will be with her the whole time. So we thank the Lord for that. We have some Christmas boxes up here that are going to find their way to some little kids in God's hands and in his way. And the only thing we're asking, there is a notation in the bulletin that they cost $7 to ship them per box. If you can donate toward it, that would be helpful. And they will be sent out tomorrow on the fast boat to where they are being sent. So we thank the Lord for that. We'll be blessing them in a little bit. And then beyond that, Kathleen, I don't see her yet. She's having surgery Wednesday. And I understand that Linda Roberts is going to sit with her, is going to go there and be there, because she wanted somebody when she comes out of surgery. Familiar face. So we thank the Lord for that. So if I don't see her walk in shortly, then we will pray without her here. But the Holy Spirit knows how to touch her. So we're so glad for that. So let us bow and thank the Lord for this day. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that your truth is marching on. Lord, and it doesn't matter what we see in the world. It doesn't matter what may be in our life. Because, Lord, although you love and cherish every person in this room and in this church and in this world, Lord, you are going forward with what you have planned of old, and it will come forth in power and glory, and, Lord, to exalt your holiness. And we thank you, Lord, the only reason it's ever delayed is so that souls who are presently lost will be gathered and tucked into your arms and be in a safe place. That's the only important thing. And so, Father, we thank you that you brought us safely this morning. Lord, we thank you for the reminder of the snow, of the forgiveness of God. Lord, though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God, you're the only one that can take a mark in our life and make it, Lord Jesus, into a cross. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that with it, you have added unto us the blessings of heaven, and you have taken away and minused out our sins and transgressions. We thank you, Lord, for the great gift of our Savior. Father, we do pray this morning for Marcella. We pray for Wendy. We pray for Dory. We pray for Kathleen. Lord God, and we're not tired of praying because, Lord, you love them desperately, and you love every person here and every need that is represented. And so, Lord, we gratefully lift up names. We gratefully lift up this church to the glory of God Almighty and ask, Lord, that you would be glorified as we've gathered together in your precious holy name. Bless now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you came all the way to church, you should greet each other.
Just suppose God searched through heaven, he couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be glad he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. Oh, I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels. From these hands, pull the nails that torment me. Had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever soul would be lost.
Amen.
Amen. Had it not been for Calvary, the Savior who died from the tools and with the tools of his trade, He gave his gift for us. We're still unwrapping it, aren't we? And we always will be, knowing in a deeper way of his extraordinary grace. And there's going to be 84 children that are going to unwrap these. How valuable are they to the kingdom of God? When I was a kid, I was just hoping to get something that was fun. Socks, underwear just didn't seem to fit the bill. So I did the next best thing. I went and bought my own. We couldn't buy salvation. Jesus did it for us. So we're going to bless these boxes, which are already blessed because all of the love and all the care that's gone into them, from all the things that were purchased to putting them together yesterday and the six very hardy people that came out to box these up and prepare them in packages so that they would be secure and also so that they look nice. They look very nice. So I'm going to ask Pastor Dennis to come up. He doesn't know this, but he's used to this. And I'm going to ask you just to lay your hands on some of those boxes as we bless the work of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We don't know the name of the person that will receive each box. What we do know, Lord, is that a shoebox reminds us that there's a soul inside. And there are souls, Lord, that these are going to. Not to mention the people that are in their families or people in their area that would know about it. It's just a great gift that continues to give, continues to go forward, continues to say, you know, God cares about the small things in my life. He cares that I have a brush. He cares that I have something to wash my face. He cares that I have something fun. God is a good God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you care for these children. And so we pray, Lord, that not only you'd meet the need for all the shipping all the way around the world, but Lord Jesus, that you would bless these wonderful gifts, Lord, and that they would have the intended purpose that you have had in eternity past for them. They may have been compiled yesterday, but they've been in your heart forever. Lord Jesus, may they do an eternal work in the lives of these 84 children. Lord God, we thank you, Father, for them, and pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, for you to do more than we could anticipate, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, I pray your touch and your anointing upon this gift in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you again to stand, if you can, for the great hymn, Lead On, O King Eternal. Bye.
Just Father, we thank you today.
Lord, you wanted to rescue us out of that pit. That's why you died. But you rose so that we could follow you. And you rose so we could be where you are. Lord, you're the greatest example we will ever understand. You are the greatest person to accompany us on the journey that you laid out. We thank you so much for your great love for us. All of our failures, your power redeems. You are the only one that can take the years the locust has eaten away and make something out of it. And I pray for each one today, especially any that feel like it's all been written already. Oh, Lord, in the hand of God, the writing has not begun. Because you can do in a moment what we failed to do in decades. We put it in your hands. May the finger of God write in the hearts of your people. I'm just starting to show you what I have planned for you. Lord Jesus, we worship you and we thank you so much. Lift our hearts to the place that you have put us in high places in Christ Jesus. Mighty God, we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we have the message, Kathleen is here today. I'm near glad to see her. Yay! She comes out after a great snowfall. Isn't that wonderful? So we're going to anoint her with oil and pray for her. I'd like Judy to come over and any that want to come over to pray with her. And she's having surgery on Wednesday, so the Lord is with her already. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can gather. Lord God, we gather around our sister that we love and we cherish. We gather, Lord, around your promises that you said, yea, I am with you, always. Lord, you did not make any distinction. You gave a promise that was forever. We gather around hope because we put our hope and our trust in you. Lord, for Wednesday, for this surgery, Lord, for the surgeons and all of the medical care that occurs for our dear sister. We pray that you would touch these that are your servants unto your daughter. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for you to give them wisdom, give them clarity, give them steadiness, all the things, Lord, that they need, Lord God. And we pray that it would be successful. We pray, Lord, that it would be better than they would even anticipate. Lord, we ask that you would even undo anything, Lord, that was not done correctly prior. We pray, Lord, for this vessel that you would restore it to full health, in the name and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would encourage her spirit. We pray that you take care of every other need, financially and otherwise, and anything that's of concern in her heart. Lord, we're so glad that you care about us. Lord Jesus, you said, God, the very hairs of our head are numbered. Lord, and if you care for the sparrow, which you do, Lord, how much more do you care for those that you've created, Lord, in your very image, Lord Jesus. So we pray, Father, in your precious holy name, that you would touch her. Even as this service continues, she would sense the strength of God, the oil of gladness, Lord, the touch of the Holy Spirit. And may it reverberate and touch everyone that's here, Father, because we put our trust and our confidence in you, the healer, the giver of life, Lord, and the restorer. We thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you. Can you give that back to David?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll be back soon.
Yes, you will.
Happy Veterans Day, belated for you that are veterans. If you're a veteran, if you are a member of the armed forces, past or present, can you stand so everybody knows who to thank and who to pray for? Let's give them a hand. May be seated. Thank you. You know, you all embody one of the great messages and the great visuals of the scripture, and that is to be a soldier. On the PowerPoint on the screen is a young soldier with a big heart. Okay? Typifies a lot of those as they wait, as they begin their service for their country. Strapping young man, isn't he? How many know who he is? Yeah, Dave doesn't count, because he know. This is our beloved Ed Watkins. Very lovely, still a strapping young man. Go to the next frame, please. This is Ed in front of the World War II Memorial. Now, he may look small in front of that, but it's because of every soldier and every work that's ever been done. And that, when you combine it, is actually more formidable than the edifice behind him. It's a beautiful rendering of the work that was done and the service that was given in World War II. For the next, this says Philippines on it. I've never been there, but I know a lot happened there in World War II. And I'm sure that if we wanted to recount the stories that Ed and others have, we don't have enough time to really go down through. Every moment is a life changer, I would think. Every moment, something happens that you'll never forget. The life of that person that nobody maybe knew, or and they were lost in the conflict. I don't think you forget those. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't. In the Philippines. Then the next picture, he and this other gentleman, they're from Minnesota. They're proud to be from Minnesota. Do you know everybody's from somewhere? It's important to be from somewhere and to be grateful. We're certainly grateful for the service that you rendered, as well as every other veteran that's here today. Because without it, where would we be? The world was a scary place at the time. We think it's scary now. It still is. The only reason we think it's scarier is probably because we have more information, we have more communication. We can see some of the things that are happening. Back then, people probably were a little bit more oblivious because they didn't know. They had to go on what the news wires told them, and I'm guessing back then, like they do now, they kind of adjust it sometimes to please either the administration or sometimes their own purposes. They salute in front of this Minnesota structure. A soldier. The title of the message is Honor on the Wall. He and others were flown to Washington, D.C. to receive this honor. Isn't that wonderful? We're glad. It was a day-long thing, long day, but I'm sure it was more than worth it for the great effort and the great honor that you received. And again, the work and the idea of a soldier is so paramount in the understanding of the Bible. A soldier sleeps with one eye open, I believe, mostly at least out in the field. A soldier does not live for themselves. A soldier is under orders. A soldier's life is restricted to a sense, but it also is expanded. It's a perfect example in the New Testament. So we're going to read 2 Peter. Bring the scripture up. Please stand for the reading. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. Well, you know, they're lovely people, you know. No, Peter's mouth did the work for him. 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 7. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, which, by the way, means it's generic, but who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Please be seated. To be honored on the wall. First of all, there's a background. The background of all of these pictures was what? Either the World War II memorial, some edifice, some strong structure that was quite imposing, I'm sure, when Ed was looking at it. It's very impressive. Took a long time to get, that's for sure. But it was it's an immovable object, it appears to be. It does seem like it, doesn't it? And they stand for what? They don't make an allegiance to the president. They don't make an allegiance to themselves. They make it to the Constitution, to the forming and the republic for which we stand. That's extremely important. And this building that we stand for is not 8001 University. We're glad to be here, especially since it's dry. We're glad to be here. We stand for God's house, his work, who he is, and he, of course, is eternal. The background of this particular portion is the Lord talking to Timothy. Now, you remember Timothy. He was Paul's protege. So the Bible says he had a good reputation. And I think that's important. And I'm not talking about somebody who's put out leaflets to tell people how great they are. That always bothers me. If you've ever seen a resume for a pastor or a minister and they tell you how great they are, I'm always wondering how great they are as opposed to how great God is. Not that you can't state things you've done or God's blessed you with, but it's extremely important in life that you have a good reputation in the community, and not one you're trying to perpetuate, but one that people can tell. I'm sure Dave Brown, who is now elected to the Senate, has a great character. I don't doubt that. I've never met him, but based on what I've heard from reliable people I know, I take it that he certainly is and will be a great addition to the service of this state, who desperately needs Christians in public life, certainly in prayer. So Paul is writing to Timothy, his protege, and he is telling him some things about being a good soldier. Paul saw himself as a soldier. That's probably a very good fitting application for him. Because I always see Paul as kind of coming in with a big armament. He was apparently of short stature, but he was one of those people that filled the space. He was very large in personality. And here's Timothy, who's actually more timid. That's not why his name is Tim, but he's more timid. And he's probably looking at the Apostle Paul as very formidable, somebody just kind of like they looked at MacArthur or whatever, or Patton. You just have this vision, even if you don't know anything about him, this big persona has come in front of you. And so Timothy might be a little intimidated by him, I don't know. But Paul is working with him. He's trying to invest in him and say, you're going to be the next generation of teachers, of leaders, of speakers, of ministers. I want you to hear some of the things that are important to know. And so you've been enlisted, Timothy. You're the new recruit in the things of God. And it's exciting. I'm sure when you gentlemen and some of the ladies of today went through the recruiting in the beginning, like my nephew, it's all exciting. It sounds very lovely. But I'm almost sure when you're in a foxhole, some of the glory blows right out. You'd rather be home in bed in a warm bed in front of a fireplace. But you do it because you chose to do it. The background here is the great buildings and the great remembrance of the conflict. God has given us a background, and it's called Calvary. Everything we are to do is to be done within the shadow of the cross. We're supposed to carry the cross daily. We're not supposed to leave it behind. Some people think when you get saved, then you leave it behind. Not so. Die daily is what the Bible says. I believe the soldier, when they get up not for their own life, but for their service for their country. And they're not wondering, what am I doing back in Michigan or wherever? What am I supposed to do right where I'm at? This is the life of the soldier. So in this portion, there are traits of soldiers, and that's who's in the foreground. In the foreground of these pictures, of course, was Ed, who's in living color here. But some of the scriptures here, I just want to point out a few of the traits of a soldier, because this is important. In the first verse, you therefore, my son, he considers Timothy his spiritual son. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I can harp on this forever because I think this is important. The first little word says be. It doesn't say do anything. It says be strong. Do you know spiritual strength is not muscles? It's not bench pressing anything? It's being somebody. It's a quality of character that is a strength that God needs in his service. If there's anything that's necessary, it's a quality of service and of character. So it's not what we do. It's really who we are. And the Greek word in to be strong, it means to be empowered. To be empowered. Now, my personal opinion is that the word empowerment has been hijacked in today's world. Because now it's starting to mean take your personal power, your personal life, your personal strength, your personal, everything about you, and it's all centered into you. The empowerment as a soldier of Jesus Christ is the power is in Jesus Christ. It is conferred upon the soldier. Is the soldier there on his own authority? No. Are they there fighting because of their own idea? No. They have been given the authority through the channel of operations to do what they're doing. And authority is a bad word. I grew up in the 60s. Believe me, it was a bad word then. Nobody liked it. But I love the word in it that says author. Who's the author of your existence? Who's the author of my life and service? It ought to be God. It ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong. Not what you do, because God's strength is what makes us strong. Be strong in what? The grace. I think another important quality in a soldier is to have grace. Under fire, often under difficult circumstances. My sister-in-law's brother-in-law, when he came back from Vietnam, he got off the plane and some lady on the tarmac spit upon him. I didn't know about it for decades. But with grace, he did not retaliate. You have to have a lot of grace when you go through things like that, don't you? As a Christian, we need grace because there's a lot of spitting and vehemence out there. They know you're a Christian. They're not going to pick on other people, but I can guarantee you they'll pick on a Christian. Why? Because they know more than likely you'll be decent about it and you'll be honorable. But there is a vehemence and a spewing forth right from the gates of hell, which will try its best to unseat the grace of God. The word grace here is a word charity. And what word we're most familiar with, I love this word, is charity. Do you know God gives out charity? You ever felt like you're a charity recipient? We certainly are. The grace of God, the cross of Christ, the word of the living God, it is all charity, but it's not cheap. People think because people give charity that it's not worth anything. Of course it is. It's worth the time and the valuable resource that people put into it. It should never be seen as junk. Except for the people years ago who were donating to an operation we knew about, a ministry, and they gave used breast pumps. Now, I don't have any idea why they would do that, why they thought that would translate into something useful. Same with used tea bags. I believe we're supposed to give the best that we can give. And that'll be different for everybody, but it's still important to give the best. Be strong in the grace, in the charity that has been given in Jesus Christ. Because the truth is, anything we do in service is something God gave us in the first place. We're not doing something based on something we bought or made happen. It's something the Lord gave us. We're to be, what they call it now, paid forward. Give it forward, because you can never lose it. Aren't you glad when you give, God gives to you? The real danger is the people that only give to get. Their motive is wrong. God will not bless that. We give because he first gave to us. Then the third verse, here's something else about a soldier. Suffer hardness with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Raise your hands if you'd like to suffer. Okay, I don't see any hands. I don't think we like it. No, sure, I don't think so. But we're supposed to. Now, just like that first word, to be strong in the Lord, in the grammatical sense here, it's in the imperative, which means it's a command. It's not a suggestion. To be strong is a command, and to endure hardness. To endure it. Endurance. Don't you need that as a soldier? I don't know. I think you're in a marathon. I don't think you're in a sprint. You have to have a longevity. Longevity. We certainly need that as Christians. There are people that say, God hasn't answered my prayer yet, and they've been praying for 3 minutes. Well, the egg might not even be done yet, folks. We need endurance. A soldier needs it. They have to have a forward thought and a forward focus to get through what they need to get through. Endure hardness. You know, we've all endured hardness in different ways. There's been a lot of death this year, a lot of illness. We've all endured it, and for the most part, we endure it privately, and it's personal, and it's about our life. And God cares about that. But he also wants us to endure difficult things that translate into the kingdom of his dear son, because then they matter forever. And that is what he's saying here. Endure hardship as a soldier. Remember, you're a soldier. And a soldier, what? Obeys. Does a soldier understand everything? No. Does a soldier know necessarily what they're doing in the next regiment? No. They know what they've been told individually. That's what they're operating under. That's what we need to operate as a Christian. He also goes down, and this is a really a doctrinal thought. The Bible says, do not entangle yourself with the things of this world and civilian affairs. A soldier is not to be concerned with how they eat or what they wear, none of those things. All their provisions are provided for them. And that's why we continue to pray that the Lord will provide medical care for the veterans. I think if there's anything that's on the list of any politician or anything, above everything, the veterans should get Veterans Day off, first of all. Secondly, they should have all their medical needs taken care of. Absolutely. I don't believe that they should be left in the dust. You know what this means? Don't entangle yourself with the world. The wording means to not weave yourself in it. And to me, it has the scriptural reference of the word sanctification. You know what that word means? It means to set apart, be set apart to a specific purpose. To be set apart for God. It has the same word of sanctuary, sacred. It's all of those roots. And it means God put you over here for a specific purpose. You are to come out of the world. You're in the world, but not of it. You're supposed to be brought from somewhere to somewhere. Isn't that what a soldier is? They are called out of the civilian world to serve in whatever capacity. It can be on the front lines. It can be in the States. It doesn't matter where it is. They're all working toward the same effort. They're working toward the same main goal. Let's not get wrapped up with where we serve or how we serve, but that we do serve. Because God wants to use us all. We are to be sanctified. We are to be set aside from this world and not entangled. And that means to get like this. If you get all, what happens as a soldier if you got all wrapped up in your gear? What would you do? You got the enemy facing you. Oh, can you wait a minute? They ain't gonna wait. We get all tangled up. We get twisted up. We start falling. We start becoming more vulnerable. The Bible's very clear. We need to be separate. That doesn't mean we're better than anybody. Doesn't mean we're holier than thou either. It means we're holy unto God. There's a difference. Sanctified. Why? Because the Bible says here that we need to please the one who enlists us as a soldier. Does not a soldier concern themselves with their commanding officer? Want to please the one who has put them in this spot? Wants to make sure that they have done what they have been asked to do? And church work, let me tell you this, there's all kinds of people to please. Of course, you want to please the congregation as best you can that people are ministered to. There are other people that wonder what's happening, and there are people that inflate and change and adjust. I believe in saying it as it is. But I want to please God. He's my first line at all. He's the only one that matters, truthfully. Because if God is pleased, he'll take care of his people. I need to please my commander, and so do you. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. It will trap you. It will snare you. You will fall over it time and time again. Now, that doesn't mean we should be indifferent to people. It doesn't mean we shouldn't listen. It doesn't mean we shouldn't care about what people think. But it also means we shouldn't care so much that we get all tripped up over it. Because everybody is going along wanting to do their best. And for the most part, that's the way most people are. They don't mean anything by it. Don't let it trip you up. Do not. Because we got to go forward in Jesus' name. So we have the background, which is all the buildings we saw. We have the foreground, which is the soldier. Now, you know what? Ed and his comrade were standing on solid ground. There are those things within a soldier's life that are equal. Have you ever been to Arlington National Cemetery? You've been to Fort Snelling. Have you noticed one thing about them? They're all equal. There could be rich people. There are notable people. There are poor people. There are people that nobody will ever know their name. And there is no distinction. When you're dead on this earth, doesn't matter how much money you had, like they said about Howard Hughes. How much did he leave? He left it all. You're not taking it with you. And so when the Bible says we're dead in Christ, what does that mean? That means we're all equaled at the cross. Cross is the great equalizer, isn't it? We each have the same call. God does not differentiate. He summons us. And I'm sure that summons to service in the armed forces is quite amazing. How amazing is the summons from heaven, not only in salvation, which of course is the first call, but the call to serve him. Isn't that fabulous? To serve him. And I can guarantee you, whether you are mopping the floors or you are in the pulpit, God has the same amount of regard for either. He does not treat one with any more regard. What he does regard is the heart who follows him 100%. So I'm glad the Lord has that kind of way to deal with us. The soldiers are all on solid ground. And that reminds me of something else that's important. I've talked about it before. And that's this. They are called individually to different services in different parts of the country or the world. But they're all under the same canopy of the same purpose, which means what? It means unity. And we've talked about this. Unity is not each Christian holding hands and connecting in our thoughts and our ideas. That's called fellowship. Unity is when each one of us is connected to the source, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are unified in his purpose, and then he tells us what he's doing, and then we revolve around the sun, around his purpose. That's what unity is. And that's what's in the armed forces are supposed to be. They are unified under one umbrella and a purpose to serve their country. And they do so with great regard. How many are glad that the foundations and the solid ground we stand on in Jesus Christ is immovable? How many are glad it's not dictated by the will of man? And how many are glad that the commander-in-chief is in the field with you? Do you know that's why Britain lost the war? Because the king, they had to keep going back to ask the king what to do? I mean, can you imagine somebody doing that? If they got, in that world especially, I mean, now you could just pick up your iPhone and go, what are we doing? If it works in that field, but they had to continually bring information to the king, which wouldn't have occurred immediately, and then they bring back the answer. Well, by that time, the situation's changed. Aren't you glad the Lord and Savior is on the field with you? And the Holy Spirit is there to keep you and to direct the information? I'll tell you, things get down a lot quicker when you go directly to the source and you don't go through five levels. To Ed and all the veterans, we stand with you. We're so grateful for your service and for the life that you have led, not only for our country, but as men in the church, to live for Christ, to be an example to all that are around. And you're a great testimony to the fact that Timothy knew what it meant to be a soldier. It meant to follow orders, but to know that your commander is right there with you. I can't imagine being out there in the field and looking around and wondering where they are. I think that would be terrifying. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We can depend on him to answer when we call out. And I am extraordinarily grateful for that because I call him a lot. There's an honoring on the wall for those that serve for those that have done their job well, and they should be respected and honored for it. We are on the wall of God's house because why? We are the church. The church is the people formed together as living stones in living springs for the glory of God. But remember, when we talk about the people, the body of Christ, the Bible says, we are the body. But you can't have a headless body, or there's nowhere to put the hat. You have to have the head, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the commander-in-chief. He is to lead us. He is to lead us individually and as a church. How many are glad you're a soldier? You're going to salute the Lord? You're going to respond to him? You're going to argue with him? Well, we can a little bit, but not too much. Because you know he's going to win anyway. So it's a good thing to respond. Say, thank you, Lord, that you've actually enrolled me into the service. You know, if we all wanted to go into the armed forces, some would be admitted, some would not because of physical need or whatever. But I'm glad that the Lord does not leave us out because we don't have the money, we don't have the physical capability, we don't have the resources. God has no such distinctions. You can serve him meaningfully, eternally, and supernaturally from a hospital bed. Kathleen finds that out. Dory has found that out. You can do it anywhere because God doesn't have any limits. And I'm glad about that. So let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today, Lord, that you've enlisted us to be a soldier. And I'm so glad as a soldier that I don't have to come up with a plan of attack. I don't have to. What I need to do is to trust you. Because, Lord, as the commander-in-chief, you are looking out for your troops. You're looking out for the welfare of your church. And if you went all the way to the cross for us, you'll go everywhere else. Because you've already done the hard part. Father, I pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to stand up in our soul and stand and count for you in this world in which we live. That we would be people, Lord, of integrity, of character, of the grace of God. We would endure hardness and difficulty, not because it's easy, but because people will come to Christ because they see Christianity in reality. Oh Lord, help us, Lord, I pray, in every possible way to be sanctified, to be set apart unto your service for your purpose. And we, Lord, are grateful that like Ed was taken to Washington, D.C., Lord, you have put us on an airplane called the cross, and you've brought us into your presence. And we cannot have anything more joyous than that. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us where we could not come on our own. And help us, Lord, to reach those that cannot get up on their own because of the cross of our Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you, Lord, for it. And I pray, Lord Jesus, your blessing, Father, upon this time and upon the meal as we fellowship together. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the closing hymn.
Christ.
So if somebody ever asks you, are you committed? You can say, yes, I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to ask if you have a walker or anything like that, you go first. We also would like to say it's been great here to have Kay's sister and brother-in-law here. And I did want to embarrass them, but so I thought I'd wait to the end of the service. But let's have a closing prayer and then go in fellowship. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. We thank you for your extraordinary grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your keeping power. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would take your word, the words to Timothy, and Lord, they would be strengthening our soul, even as we speak, to stand for you in a hard place, Lord Jesus, because you're on the field with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Help us not to be entangled, but instead to be wound around and bound to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we pray your blessing on this food and the fellowship that occurs. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.